Hi guys, I'd like to talk today about styles. I have mentioned in previous podcasts, I don't think that individual styles are sufficient for today when it comes to talking about self-defense and street combat and that kind of thing. I think the reason for it is quite evident in that when the founders of the individual styles brought the styles into being, I think they had a particular philosophy in mind, a particular mindset about how they thought fighting should be and what they thought were the best tools to have in order to give someone the best outcome should they have to use their skills outside. And anyone can do that. Anyone can start a style, and if they think that their techniques or their philosophy is better than things that already exist out there, then they can start their own method, and then that's the way they go. And should they want to pass it on and teach it to students, then that's what they do. And that's how, you know, new things start. The problem with today's martial arts, today's classical styles, and not to say that they're not good, of course they are, but one of the modern flaws when it comes to self-defense is that when the original founders put these arts together, the students of the founder took what the founder said as gospel. You know, the founder said that we must punch like this and we must kick like this, and it became the law, and that's how we must do it. And so those students learned how to do something the exact way that the founder taught, the exact philosophy. And then when they became teachers, they then taught the exact same thing to their students with very little, if any, modification. It was taught exactly how it was taught to them. And that's because the system or the style that they study always reverts back to how was this originally taught? How did the founder say we have to do this? And rightly, they have faith in their founder and in their teacher and in their teacher's teacher, and so they do it exactly the same way as it has always been done in that style. And to have that degree of confidence and faith, not only in their instructor but in the system that they practice, is admirable. And respect should be given for that. However, if you're practicing martial arts simply for a self-defense perspective, not studying the martial art to walk a martial path, or not wanting to be a gold medalist in martial sport, if you're simply, you want to gain combat fitness and a combat philosophy and always updating your skills in order to be as effective as you can be in today's evolution of how we're attacked and where, when and why we're attacked, then the skills of a classical system are obsolete and can be dangerous because the teachers and the students are doing today what their founder did all that time ago. Because if I invent a style today and I say we must punch like this and we must kick like this, this gives us the best opportunity for power and speed and reaction, then in 20 years' time, if my students and my students' students are doing it exactly how I did it, then I would feel appalled in the message I was putting across, because there has been no evolution, no development, and whilst the method of attack and how people are attacked on the street will change on a day-to-day basis. You know, people who attack people aren't always just a drunk relative at a family function or some idiot outside of a shop. You know, some people could be regular fighters, and so their skills are constantly being adapted and changed in real life scenarios. And here we are practicing set routines and set ways of punching without deviation from that plan, then logically there is no way that the skills will match the attackers of today, because one has evolved and continues to evolve and the other doesn't. And so whilst I think an instructor or a person can put a martial art or a fighting system together and then teach it to other people, if that system is good for the first 6 months or year and it continues to be taught exactly how that founder has put it together, then it becomes another classical system that has no evolution and no constant development. So when you follow the laws strictly of something dictated by a founder and there is no change to that, that's when I think that classical systems become obsolete from a self-defense point of view. Now, if there was room for expression and individual philosophy and research of current fighting application in real life, real time scenarios, then I think every teacher and every student would want to continue to upgrade their skills. I often make the comparison to malware or, you know, that kind of thing on a computer. So every day or every other day, whatever malware or spyware software that you have on your computer will send an update. We need to update this. We need to update that. We found a new virus, a new method of attacking the computer. And so the software is constantly updating to fight the ever-increasing development of the attack. So as simple as that is, so if you apply that to fighting philosophy, combat self-defense philosophy, then your training should mirror that spyware in that it should constantly be evolving, developing, improving. How can it be faster? How can you move quicker? How can you evade or counter? It's all a process of improvement. Now, if I studied a singular style, such as karate, and my philosophy that was being taught to me was to master a set of skills. So, sidekick Yokogeri is done this way. And so you have to master the loading of that kick, the application of the kick, the recoil, so that you can go into the next thing. So rather than finding a faster, more dynamic way of doing that kick where it can be as effective as possible in today's fighting climate, classical systems teach you how to do that kick over and over and over to try and find the best way of doing it as fast as possible whilst maintaining the schematic of how to perform that technique. So in the Chong Yi Kwan, for example, we don't have set techniques. We have a sidekick. Taekwondo has a sidekick. Karate has a sidekick. Jiu-Jitsu has a sidekick. The application and the development of how to use those kicks is what makes that kick usable or not. So, rather than rehearsing and practicing a set way of performing the kick and trying to add speed to that, simply there are other ways of taking out some of the unnecessary steps of application in order to develop the speed of the application, of course, without diminishing the power or the effectiveness of the kick. So you could go to 4 different martial arts, pick one from each country, and you could have a look at a taekwondo back kick, or a karate back kick, or a jiu-jitsu back kick, or a kung fu back kick, and all of the back kicks look the same. They all start from a fighting stance, and they all involve a spin, and then the extension of the leg into the target, and then impact. The start from the fighting stance to the end where the kick impacts the target, the bit in the middle, the application and the use of the kick will be slightly different. It will be taught slightly different and applied slightly different in each art that you do. And in today's modern age, it's very easy for anyone to look at that for themselves. All you need to do is go to YouTube and type taekwondo back kick or karate back kick or kung fu back kick and look at the 3 videos and look for the subtle differences between them to see how does that art teach that kick. How does this art teach this kick? And is any one faster than the other? And then maybe try to find a video of a back kick in a street fight video and see if that looks any different. Now, techniques used that you might see in actual street fight or street combat techniques won't look like the back kick that you do in a nice clean martial arts uniform in your gi or your dobok. They won't look pretty and they're not clinical and crisp, but no one cares how pretty your kick looks when you're applying that in a potential life or death situation. What you want to know is, if I fire my leg out, will it hit the person and hurt them? Either enough for me to get away or enough to harm them so that I can continue if there are more than one attacker and so on. So with today's technology, we can see clips like that easily on the internet and we can make those judgments for ourselves. And it will become apparent to anyone that it isn't blind faith or the constant repetition of somebody else's view on how to perform techniques that will make you more competent in a combat situation. It is about learning what skills are available. What is available to me? I have 2 arms, 2 legs. What can I do? What can I use them for? I can punch, I can kick. What type of punches are there? What type of kicks are there? Can I throw? Can I sweep? All of these things. So for example, you might do karate and part of your combination in sparring or practicing the self-defense portion of karate might be sweeping. So when you sweep the leg, you like the effect that that has so that you can follow on with your combination of techniques. However, a taekwondo person watching that on a video clip might think it's okay, but, and then they will give reasons why they don't like doing sweeps, primarily because there are no sweeps in taekwondo, in kukyuan certainly, taekwondo, because you can't kick to the legs. So because they don't use it, they find rationales or reasons why it's unnecessary, because they would just do something else. So they would say, well, we don't do this, but we do that, and it's much faster, and why waste time doing this? So then that's how the different styles have the, not antagonistic, but certainly why they believe in their own style rather than another. So that's why, to me, styles, they don't make sense anymore. Because what has become apparent to me over the years is that all styles do is separate people. The martial arts should be mainly an avenue for all people with a similar interest to come together and train together, work together, converse together, and share their love and their knowledge for the martial arts together. However, if someone is from one style, they may think, I'm not talking to someone from judo because judo is not a martial art, it's a sport. Yeah, they wear uniforms and they wear black belts, but there's no kicking and punching, so that's not a martial art. And that's not fair. So, but that might be their opinion. And so, things like that, and I'm not talking about individuals having that opinion, I'm talking about enough people from one system to make it a system opinion. So, that separates people. Oh, they do Kung Fu, or they do Aikido. No, that's just wishy-washy. You know, we do this and we're powerful. Or we do this and we're fast. So those kind of ideals, in my opinion, tend to simply segregate and separate people. And that's not what the martial arts are about. So in more modern times, such as Chong Yi Kwan, to a certain degree, Krav Maga, or even Jeet Kune Do, you know, maybe not so much the one of today, which has become a system of choreography, as opposed to what Bruce Lee invented, which is pretty much what I'm talking about, of having systems where they're constantly in a state of development and improvement and evolution. Not this is how you do this set of techniques. Now go away and master those skills, and when you're good enough, then teach those techniques to somebody else, and then we'll have a lineage of how to do that technique. That doesn't apply. That has nothing to do with self-defense. If a student or a person needs to learn combat skills realistically for either the environment that they live in or for whatever reason it is, then they need to train in a system that doesn't make them conform to set ways of doing things. They need to be able to express and evolve themselves freely and limitlessly on a weekly basis, so that they develop their minds to the point of not having a restriction, not being tied to specific ways of doing things. If you're taught one technique in Taekwondo, for example, and they say you're too short, because someone with longer legs, someone who's taller than you, will have longer legs and they'll always be able to kick you first, you will struggle to get in. So that's going to make the shorter person think, oh, well, I should do something else. So again, that's because you're limiting someone to the limitations of that system. So again, segregation. So students shouldn't have to worry about, oh, they're taller, or they're more muscular, or they're, you know, whatever their physical attributes are, shouldn't play a bearing. Everybody has two arms, two legs, they're able to fight. It's simply a matter of training the mind to not conform yourself to doing things in a choreographed set way. Allowing yourself to be expressive, free, and evolution of the training to be able to expand past what is considered a normal or classical way of doing things. Okay, that's it, guys. Well, thanks for joining me today. I hope to see you on the next one. Till then, take care.